Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 4th, 2024. Today is Monday in the third week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark 7, verses 24 through 37. From there Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Here ends the reading. How did these stories land for you today? How did you hear them? What particulars stood out? Was it the desperate mother's willingness to cross a social and religious boundary to help her daughter? Was it Jesus' seeming cold, callous initial reaction to the woman's request? What about the mom's verbal jiu-jitsu when she receives the insult but then turns it on its head? What about the fact that Jesus exorcises a demon from a distance without even seeing the desperate mom's daughter in person? What about the invasive ways Jesus touches the deaf man with the tied tongue? What did spitting have to do with anything? What about Jesus constantly telling people to be quiet about all of these goings on, and the more he tells people to be quiet, the more the news spreads? I don't know how many times I've read the Gospel of Mark over the past 20 years, but this Lent, getting to read it out loud into this microphone, has me feeling the pace of the story differently than when I just read it to myself, you know, in my head silently. This Lent, I'm hearing Mark's dramatic flair with a bit more nuance. I'm noticing how he has composed his story to maximize the emotional impact of what's happening. The Syrophoenician woman is a Gentile. In the world of first century Jews, and remember, Jesus was a Jew, there were two sorts of people: Jews and everyone else. Of all the stories that get read on a Sunday morning in church, this is the one that many of my fellow 21st century Christians often find the most unsettling. The prospect of Jesus talking to a desperate parent with such flippancy, or is it cruelty, goes against all of our sensibilities about welcome and inclusion. We cannot imagine the Jesus from our Sunday school days calling someone a dog. And when we get caught up by that, I think we sort of miss the point. You see, Mark is telling a story to demonstrate the ways in which the good news of the kingdom is crossing every sort of social boundary. The woman's persistence models a sort of faith that presses on, no matter the obstacle. In this way, she becomes a witness, not against Jesus, but against those of us who purport to follow Jesus and still seek to exclude anyone we deem as outsiders or somehow unworthy of God's all-encompassing love. As I reread the story of the deaf man with the speech impediment, I was taken by the sounds Jesus makes as he engages with the man. He sighs, and then he says that one word, Ephphatha, which is a bit of a tongue twister for this English speaker. Be opened. And then the man can talk plainly, and he hears. And while I realize this story is about a literal healing, I kept thinking of the ways in which the church is sometimes unable to hear the good news we're commissioned to share, and the often awkward, tongue-tied ways in which we share it. To be able to hear clearly and speak clearly, both of these are essential qualities for sharing the good news of the gospel. We've got to hear it, and then we've got to tell it. Finally, I've wondered about two things in today's passage. First thing is that no matter how much Jesus told folks to keep these stories to themselves, they keep telling them. And the ways in which people kept telling them and telling of the works of Jesus, I couldn't help but notice how this stands in such sharp contrast to the almost pathological resistance most modern mainline Christians have towards ever talking about Jesus out loud, you know, with their words, either privately or in public. I often joke when I'm talking about Mark, this gospel that we're reading, that all of Jesus are safe with us 21st century Christians because we've already committed to the secrecy part, especially when it comes to owning the Savior we allegedly follow. The second thing I'm thinking about is the fickleness of public opinion. At the end of Mark 7, Jesus is riding high. I'm guessing his approval rating is topping 80%. The general feeling in the opinion polls is he has done everything well. Sure, there have been some initial controversies with the religious leadership, but the ministry is flourishing and continuing to garner support. But how quickly everything will change. Perhaps it's our own awareness of our own fickleness that makes us so reticent to tell others about our experience of the good news. Or maybe it's simply that we're worried we won't say something right. Or maybe it's that we haven't made peace with our own prejudices and our own awareness that we aren't perfect, so who are we to be talking about Jesus? Or maybe it's some combination of all these things. All I know is that Mark's directness in telling the good news is landing differently on me this time around. I'm puzzling over the text. I'm wrestling with it. And I'm being challenged by it. I hope you are too. Thanks for listening this far. We've got 9 more chapters to go. Hang on for the ride. Let us pray. Look upon the heartfelt desires of your humble servants, Almighty God, and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.